When I quit my corporate job, we were already married, and we had already decided we were going to be moving to East Africa. We didn't really have anyone else there because we were entering into community where we were learning a different language. Like I was learning how to say, hi, my name is Raquel in Somali. Like we had to rely on each other for trying to one, navigate the world together in a very foreign context.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Lead Up Podcast. I'm your host, Renato Guerra. This podcast is to connect with dope and diverse leaders to learn more about their leadership journey so you can level up in your leadership. Hashtag Lead Up. You may not see everything right now, but I'm in a new studio, very excited. So I want to give a special shout out to Solified Studio, the guy behind the cameras, AJ Morales. He's going to take this podcast to the next level. Super excited. And I can't forget about you, listeners, viewers, watchers. This has been an exciting journey. We're on episode 51. This is kind of crazy. So feel free to check out the page on my Instagram at Renato G, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn. But without further ado, in honor of Women's Month, we are in the month of March for Women's Month. I want to do something special to recognize an amazing leader that's doing some incredible work here in Sacramento. We just happen to be in the building where she serves as the executive director. So without further ado, I want to introduce Raquel Shipp. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And thank you for coming to our center. Thank you, AJ, too, for bringing this beautiful studio.
Yeah, I was just telling earlier, right before we started, I was like, didn't even know there was a room here. So super excited to see the development of not only this, but also what you guys are doing here at the center. And we're going to talk about that very soon. Mm-hmm. But before we get into all that, who is Raquel Shipp? Tell us a little bit about the background story, how you got to where you were. Just share us a little bit about who you are.
Sure. So I grew up in the East Bay. Some will just want me to clarify that it's actually the Delta region. So a little town called Oakley. I was raised with my brother, mom, dad, Latino household. And my dad was a really hard worker. He came up in the fields of Central Valley, Fresno area. And so for me, going to college, being one of the first people in our family to get to college was a big, big thing. And my dad is well accomplished as well. He is has been working for like the same construction company, safety supervisor for multiple years. So he has led teams throughout the California in some major construction projects. So when I think about leadership, I always think about my dad and how he basically started from as low as you can, as far as like being a laborer in the fields, working his way up to working for a major construction company and leading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. So Oakley.
Oakley.
Is that East
Oakley.
Bay?
Oakley. Yeah. If you cross over at the Antioch Bridge, you already passed Oakley.
Got it. Okay. Good to know. Good to know. I just want to make sure for those that are in the East Bay or in the Delta region, is that what they say?
Make it clear. And I met my husband out there in high school. We are high school sweethearts.
What?
And and he's the co-founder of the Youth Center. Yes. And we do a lot of leadership together, which for most people would be pretty complicated. For us, it's pretty natural, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I'm definitely going to touch on that later because that is a very interesting dynamic when it comes to like working with your partner. So definitely want to get into that. But before we get into that, tell us a little bit more about your current role as the executive director, and definitely want to jump into what SYC is all about.
Sure. So I studied psychology, got my degree from Sac State.
Stingers up.
And really decided that I was going to enter the corporate world with my degree. And I did that. And I was in workforce development, working for an agency, helping people to find jobs, really rewarding work, but also was not really feeling the 9-to-5. And soon after, you know, getting out of college, working there for a couple years, my husband and I decided to embark on an international voyage to East Africa.
Wow.
And there we joined a team and we implemented a learning center. And from that experience of working on a team, coming into a community where we were serving Somali refugees, learning a new language. I just got a whole new perspective for how we can serve multiple communities. Yeah. And when we returned back, that was something that had always stuck with me, was a center. Mm. Because I saw the power of a center. I saw the community that formed around the center. And I saw the healing that could happen when you had somewhere to go to every day that was safe and that felt like home. So that was kind of how we got to this dream of launching. And being from the neighborhood, we lived here in North Sac, Del Paso Heights area for about 10 years. And so it was finally time. And I was the one who raised my hand to be the executive director. And we had, I had another wonderful female leader. Her name is Char Blair. She kind of empowered me and she said, yeah, you and Adam should do this together, but you should be the executive director. Mm. And I've always been a very supportive role for anyone that I've worked for.
Yeah.
So stepping into that role, knowing I had Adam by my side, but also being the face forward part,
for sure.
That was new.
Tell me a little bit more about kind of how SAC Youth Center came to be, because me not even being a native to SAC, but being here for the last almost 10 years, I've known this area and this building to be something different on and off. And it wasn't until a couple of years ago where SYC has been doing, there's been a lot of great things happening. So just tell me a little bit more, kind of, you mentioned you raised your hand. What was kind of that process, or what was this place before SYC?
So before it was SYC, it was a building that had mostly stood empty. It was owned by, and it still is owned by Real Life Church. I had always known the building as well, like you, as something that seemed empty or just not fully like living up to its potential. It's a big building. It's 16,000 square feet. So it's a lot to take on for any one organization or individual. We have the theater, an auditorium. We have the drop-in center, a gallery, a cafe, like anything you want, we have, but activating that whole space is complicated.
Yeah.
And so, I remember always thinking, like, I think I can do something there. I didn't know what. Eventually, we decided to rent out one of the smallest rooms. And we were renting just that tiny room, and we'd set up a pop-up youth center in the main auditorium. We'd tear it down, set it up. We'd bus kids in because we had to enter through the back door because other people were using other spaces. And then shortly after that, it was the pandemic and everything shut down. But we decided to continue to pay rent, and we were one of the last organizations in here attempting to keep the space alive. And I don't know, you know, I don't know if I have like squatter's rights or something now. I mean, I still pay rent, but you know, it was one of those things where we just progressively took over the entire building. And but the only way that it happened was through collaboration.
For sure.
So we have a high school on campus. It's an alternative education high school, mostly serving youth who are in need of credit recovery. We have lots of youth who have experienced homelessness, underhoused youth, refugee, let's see, foster care youth, youth who are coming from backgrounds that are typically underserved. And they can find their resource here. And then we have the drop-in center. Our cafe doubles as a workforce training center. And then the music and recording arts studio that's installed here with Antonio Smith. Amazing resources, but it's all because of partners and collaborations. Like I said, I cannot activate 16,000 square feet alone. Even AJ now being in here with his studio, that's taking up this space and making it alive and bringing life. One of my major goals and Adam's major goal was to activate the front of the space. A lot was happening in the back. But our neighbors and ourselves couldn't even access it. The front doors were always locked. And in a neighborhood that's already struggling, a locked front door is usually a sign of don't enter. Like, we don't want you in here. So we made a commitment to ourselves that the front door would be unlocked, which meant we had to deal with some of the things that other people were frightened of, which, you know, there's this community struggles with violence and drugs and substance use. And so our presence became vital to activating the space in a healthy way. And so that's what we've done. And now our doors are open and people walk in and out saying, hey, what is this space? I'm like, it's been here. And now you're welcome in, you know?
And it's definitely happening, you know, from social media, the word of mouth of SYC, SYC. It's been really incredible. And I definitely want you to continue bragging about it. But tell us, what is the mission and purpose of SYC, and maybe sharing any kind of impactful stories that have happened so far?
So we started out just as a pop-up youth center. We had some curriculum that we would run after school programming on campuses. But really it launched because a student one day after they had participated in our program on campus like 2 years in a row. Like, hey, you going to show up to class today? And they were like, no, I'm not. And we're like, yeah, I get it. We were in a dusty classroom. And so our program that was kind of addressing mental and behavioral health issues and preparing youth to kind of navigate through being a newcomer. It was mostly for newcomer youth at that time. They were expressing they wanted more, but not more of the program, just more of hanging out with each other and with us. And so we created this space to serve their personal needs of having somewhere safe to be. Mm-hmm. We equip students, though, with mental and behavioral health training. We also are supporting our youth in mental and behavioral health crisis. We have peer specialists who are trained by state certified trainers. And so they are highly qualified individuals. But the key is that they come from this neighborhood. So all of our staff have a shared lived experience that resembles what a youth may be going through. We have a staff member who he himself is a newcomer refugee from Afghanistan, serving newcomer refugee youth. We have staff members who have been in foster care, and now they're adults and they've lived through it and how they've become successful in their life. They're able to share that through their work. So our staff is like almost a mirror image just a couple years down the road from where our students are. And that's important because that's how you can build trust and relationship through shared lived experience.
Can you share like a story too that comes to mind when you think about the work that you've been doing here at SYC?
Yeah. There was a youth, his name is, we'll call him Sean. And Sean came through our doors and he walked in and he immediately said, "What is this space?" And one of my peer specialists, a staff member, walked over and was like, "Hey, well, this is a space for youth, 14 to 24. So if you're 14 to 24, you are welcome in here. You can go ahead and, you know, sit down. There's a phone charger there. If you want to play video games, you can play video games. Go ahead, take a rest." The staff member could immediately identify that Sean was most likely unhoused and in need of respite for the moment. So he was giving him space, letting him settle in, letting him ask questions and explore the space, gave him a tour. Immediately identified this student need to be re-engaged in high school. He had dropped out. So we walked him straight over to the high school, got him signed up for high school. Later that through a couple more days of him coming in and out, we identified that he was also an expecting father. And we were able to get his girlfriend into high school as well, so she could earn some credits to continue working towards her education. Both of them were unhoused and living in a vehicle. And for us, being that open door was key for him to find success. He's working right now in the cafe. You'll see him there. If you stop by for a cup of coffee, you're actually helping to employ him. And so, you know, his baby has been born and we've been able to provide some support services through the school and through some other wonderful donors to provide just basic needs for mom and baby. And Sean is here in the cafe working and they're all, both of them are still working towards their degree, which is so important, not only for their success, but the success of their child.
For sure.
But the key was that my staff member who recognized that that person was unhoused, they knew what they needed. So my staff member was an unhoused teen at once. He knew. He knew what he needed. He also knew what he didn't need. He knew the kind of advice to offer. He knew the kind of support and conversations to have to motivate rather than make someone feel uncomfortable about having to ask for help. So that's kind of, you know, if you talk about someone coming in because the door was open, that's a story that just warms my heart, you know?
No, it's an incredible story of support. And I'd be remiss, speaking of support, you guys have a fundraiser or an event coming up where people can support. We'd love for you just to kind of share that with anybody that's listening or watching.
Yes. It's going to be on March 25th, start at 1 p.m. It's the house party. So we have never been able to really do a grand opening because we slowly opened through the pandemic.
Right. Yeah.
And so our students have really just got to be spoiled by this space all alone. They have never had to really share it with anyone but each other, their peers. So we are offering to the community. You can come by, grab your ticket online, SACU Center, www.sacucenter.com/houseparty, or you can get it on our Instagram. Just go to link in bio, get your tickets. You'll get to fully experience the youth center as a youth, but then also get a little bit of bonus. We're going to have live music. Antonio Mission Smith is going to be performing alongside a live band. There'll be food prepared from our cafe, small bites. I think we're thinking wings.
Okay. So, I'm there.
And then some drink offerings. So we just want to hang out and we want to let the community see, because I oftentimes will say, oh, it's for the kids, you know, and adults are like, wait, what's going on back then? Yeah. Like, well, here's your chance. So stop on by the 25th next weekend. Yeah.
Very cool. Make sure to check out the house party. I'm going to loop back to SYC in just a second, but you know, we are in the Women's Month, and it's been, from my personal, professional experience over the last few years, I've learned a lot in terms of what it means, or to better understand, because I won't fully understand what it means to be a woman in the workforce and in this space, especially as a leader. So I'm curious, you know, in Women's Month, like when you think of that, what comes to mind? What is so important about that for you as we recognize and honor the women that are current or that have passed?
Yeah, I think first off, I want to really thank leaders who have encouraged me to push past my own fears and have acknowledged my fears with me and gone, yeah, those are real fears. Yeah. I'm also a mother of three children. And so being a mom in leadership is hard, because you sometimes, I read somewhere, and I think it was Isabel Allende, I think it was her, who said that every decision a mom makes is either like, is she sacrificing something? If she's deciding to go to work, then she's deciding not to be home with her kids, you know? If she's deciding to stay in with her kids that night instead of going out and networking, like, it's always a sacrifice. And so there's been people in my life that have acknowledged that sacrifice and have been able to empathize with it, from just other women that I'm with in the community, mostly, where we can kind of come together and talk, oh man, it's so hard. I mean, you will often see me like having a kid in my office, and my staff will assist and help. But having leaders who can kind of go, it's okay, bring your kid with you. Right now they're small. I'm glad that they get to see me in this position. And I hope that they can one day step into leadership too. But being a mom and being a leader, being a wife, and luckily my co-leader is my husband, because he has his own version of sacrifices he makes too. But having a team that's also supportive of it, and community members who can help with my kids, has been instrumental.
Yeah, 100%. It's powerful, because like I said recently too, just things that I've never considered, right? I'm still, you know, single and no kids, and, you know, in leadership. And it's a whole different perspective and worldview that I'm navigating compared to, as you were saying, like, being a mom, you know, being a partner, having multiple kids. It's a lot different that we as guys sometimes don't really consider at all.
Yeah, I think back to your own maternal figure, and think, like, when you're in leadership, and if you see another woman in leadership, consider what she may have been going through. And the female leadership role is something that I know is super important. It's important for my young women, my young Afghan youth, refugee youth, to see a woman in leadership directing others. Yesterday, I was told a story about and this was from our students and from my staff members, about this very inspirational woman who stepped out in Afghanistan to create her own clinic. And I thought, oh my gosh, wow, like she did that in Afghanistan? Like,
yeah, right.
I can't imagine taking that risk.
Yeah.
And you know, it ended up with her losing her life. And
wow,
it was like bringing me and the students and my staff member to tears to think about just how privileged I am to be a woman in America who can lead an organization and who isn't necessarily threatened. My life is not threatened in the work that I do. Maybe just my pride a little sometimes, but that's about it, you know, and that's my own pride. But I think just acknowledging that there's women spaces that are even harder, even more complicated, and they're still stepping out, and just how powerful that is. Mm-hmm. And how inspiring that is. And as a woman, though, here in Sacramento, California, I hope that I'm doing a little bit to inspire other young women to do the same.
Yeah. Kind of on that same thread, like, what are you hoping, or what do you envision as that future for those young women that you're serving, that you're connecting with, that you're seeing as you're continuing to lead and navigate through spaces?
I'd say that they have more confidence than I do. I mean, as a leader, I think it doesn't matter if you're male or female, we all combat our own confidence, right? Our own imposter syndromes that we put on ourselves. But if a young woman can come out of my center and feel confident that she can raise her hand and she can say, I want to try, versus spending years waiting for someone to ask. Because sometimes we wait until we're asked instead of stepping out. I read a statistic about like women entering politics, like campaigning. It takes like 7 asks for a woman to actually put her name in, if she ever does.
Right.
And in those 7 asks, like how many years pass? How much change doesn't happen because she doesn't step up?
Wow.
And I think that in comparison to males who are asked, they'll step up within like the second ask. Oh yeah, maybe I will, you know, try to be the next city council member or the next, assembly member. But I think women don't often come with that same level of confidence. Mm-hmm. And so if I can empower some confidence in my young female leaders who are coming up through our center, that'd be fantastic.
That's awesome. I definitely want to loop back around to, I know you mentioned your co-lead. Shout out to Adam.
Yeah.
and just talk about that dynamic because, I work for an organization where both of our founders, they're best friends, right? And I've been with them for 7 years now and seen that dynamic of, again, I'm trying to think of my best friend. I'm like, I don't know if we could, you know, we would probably lost a business or something, but they've managed. And again, it's, from outside perspective, there's definitely internal conflicts and challenges that they've had to definitely communicate, and probably to this day, right, to lead and grow an organization, right? And so all that to say, kind of share, because you mentioned for you, like, it helps you. And
it does help.
Yeah, so talk about that.
It does help. So, when I quit my corporate job, we were already married, and we had already decided we were going to be moving to East Africa. And those were the first times where we spent that much time together, you know, where we didn't really have anyone else there because we were entering into community where we were learning a different language. Like I was learning how to say, hi, my name is Raquel in Somali. Like, we had to rely on each other for trying to one, navigate the world together in a very foreign context. Two, when we were administrating, he was a teacher at the school doing ESL, and I was the administrator. And in the context of working in a Muslim context neighborhood, that's where we kind of learned how to be flexible in leadership. There would be times where I, as the administrator, would be enrolling a student and maybe the class was full and I had to tell someone, oh, sorry, I'm going to put you on a wait list. You're welcome to, keep checking in. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I would get the, oh, let me talk to your boss. And I'm like, okay. I am the boss. That's fine. But what they, you know, and in that culture is a very male dominant culture. So yeah. I understood. And I wasn't going to try and like make a stand right there. I just needed that person to understand that we were attempting our best to get them in our class. And so I'd walk over to Adam and I would say, okay, so I just need you to say this exact same thing that I just said word for word. And he'd say it. And they would say, okay, thanks. And then walk away. And you know, it was one of those things where I had to be humble and like, yeah, I know I have the right answer.
For sure.
And he had to trust like, yeah, Raquel knows what she's talking about. She's made this decision.
Yeah.
So we got to really test the waters in working together in the community and being trusting one another.
Yeah.
And then also we are best friends. We have been ever since I think high school.
Uh-huh.
There was another person who was his best friend and that guy, I feel bad for him because I think he really got a little jealous.
What?
Yeah, it was like, I think later on, I felt bad. I'm like, oh, I stole your best friend. But he's my best friend now. So we've got the friendship thing down for sure. He's an amazing partner, amazing, thoughtful person, caring. He brings a lot more heart, I think, and just welcoming than I do. I'm kind of like the quiet, stoic one in the back. And everyone's like, is she mad? He's like, no, she just looks like that. I'm serious. Funny. And all my tias will agree. But him and I mean, like most ideas, we're working on them together.
Yeah.
Presenting them to the team together. And in that same friendship dynamic that's at your organization, we've hired a couple of our best friends to work with us. And really it comes down to trusting that that person's not trying to hurt you and they tell you you're wrong.
Yeah.
Same thing with me and Adam. Sometimes I'm wrong. I said it, Adam.
We got that. We're going to make that a reel.
And sometimes he's wrong. Yeah. And so, you know... Us being okay about,
What would you say is like, probably, you know, for people that are considering whether it's a business or doing something together, whether it's a friend, a partner, you know, because again, it can get a little tricky. It doesn't always need to be that, you know, you really have to be self-aware of what, you know, what makes sense. What would you say that works within your dynamic that makes it like, you know, work together well for you guys?
I think for me and Adam is acknowledging like our own personal, you know, skill sets.
Yeah.
So he does a lot of the curriculum development, a lot of the outreach. The center is beautiful because of him. I do not try to step into that arena.
Got it.
I operate on the admin, grants, networking. I'm on the other side. And we bring each other along and ask opinions. Oh, who should we talk to about this? Or, oh, what do you think about this color of paint or whatever? You know, all the way down to the mundane, like I'm staring at this desk here. Yeah. There was like so many text conversations about this desk. ultimately, he chose. And I'm glad, you know, like sometimes if you think about a Chip and Joanna Gaines dynamic, we take turns being whichever version. And you have to trust that that person's got the vision. Yeah. And maybe you don't. Maybe you can't see it all the way, but I think we've learned how to trust that other person's vision and provide insight and, you know, commentary when needed.
for sure. Trust is a huge thing. I feel like it's not something that gets explicitly talked about a lot, but it's one of those dynamics, not just in work, but, you know, in friendships and, you know, whether it's romantic or not, but trust is huge. And it's something that I don't know if we really realize until we get to those point and you know, kind of act of like, I just don't trust this person.
Yeah, I think it takes a lot of vulnerability to define if there's trust or not. I was in a position where I was being in a more supportive role under a leader, and a vulnerable moment came up, and then later that same vulnerable moment was used to kind of, it felt like it was used against me in a way. And so immediately I was like, oh, we don't trust each other.
Wow.
Like, and it didn't work. Like it just wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
So I think being vulnerable to navigate to trust, but then also being vulnerable to kind of figure out if you can't trust someone. You have to start with vulnerability first on both sides.
For sure.
If the other person's not being vulnerable, then there's most likely not trust there.
100%. Yeah. That's really good. Thank you. What's kind of shifting gears a little bit more of like leadership stuff? Mm-hmm. What is something you wish someone had told you about leadership, or even just what it even means to be an executive director, right?
It's a majority of the people that I talk to who are executive directors, and I've even gone into some leadership labs where I've got to only sit down with executive directors, is that we all feel the same. Mm. We all feel like we kind of don't know what we're doing, but we kind of are going to try our hardest to do the best we possibly can.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're not experts, we're learning. And if you can identify yourself as a learner, who is passionate, and continue to learn, even at no matter what level. I mean, I've talked to people who've like, oh, I've worked here for 30 years, but they're still identifying themselves as a learner. They're still progressing, even though they may not get any higher in their position. Mm-hmm. They are getting better at their job. So I think understanding how you can grow through learning, and accepting moments of learning and sharing that with others.
Yeah.
That has helped me, because you think, oh, they're the boss, they're in charge, they know everything.
Right.
They're probably learning to know more things, right? They're navigating through while leading.
That's right. Right.
Because a lot of times I'm setting staff members off, I'm like, go learn. I don't know how to do Salesforce, Angela. Good luck.
Right.
You know? And so, and I'm not going to ever become the expert in that, and acknowledging where she is going to be the expert in that.
Yeah.
And, being a learner is key.
Perfect setup for the next question. How do you continue to develop and grow as a leader?
One, staying close to my staff. I like to be upfront with them. I like to hear what their passions and their goals and their dreams are, because sometimes leading someone means that you might be leading them away from you. You might have to say bye to them, because they're only there for a certain time purpose.
Yeah.
And so I have had staff members who, I've said bye to, and it's 'cause we kind of prepared her to leave. And she's out doing amazing work for her community, working for another nonprofit, doing mental health at a higher capacity. Mm-hmm. And I'm so proud of her, and, you know, acknowledging as a leader, like, you do have to be, you have to know your people. Mm-hmm. They are not cogs in a wheel. And if you think of them like that, you're never going to have a staff that will trust you. And who knows what's going to happen to your organization, to your efforts.
Yeah.
People are not, people need to be treated with care and compassion.
Yeah.
Most likely they'll stick around. They may even come back.
No, it's right. I mean, the transition piece, and exiting people is a part of leadership. Mm-hmm. It's not even a matter of if, but when.
When,
you know,
right?
And that's hard to, because, you know, we're people, right? And you care about, I mean, we care about people. Mm-hmm. Some don't as much. They're very cold. But I would like to think that yourself and people that I'm around, you know, we care about people. And that can be hard to kind of make that exit or that transition to, like, move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of what you're sharing about. So
yeah, and we have, you know, our work, it surrounds mental and behavioral health. And so for me to kind of understand when my staff needs rest, that has been key. When I was reviewing your questions, I think there was a question in there about, like, what was a time that you've really were able to think about leadership differently.
Yeah.
It was during a sabbatical. That's actually how we ended up with the youth center. It was a 3-month sabbatical where it just clarity finally hit. Peace finally was able to come back into our life and our vision for what we wanted for our community. But I take that same stance with my staff. So we give it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
We have like 7 weeks paid vacation and we try to coordinate very well because we don't want to shut down.
Yeah, right.
But I think if we ever had to all take a break together to rest, it would be vital because I would not want our organization to burn out.
Yeah.
I would not want an individual to burn out. We offer that because it is key.
Yeah.
And it is just as important as them drinking enough water, eating the right food, getting enough rest.
Yeah. Talk about that a little bit if you're able to.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, a lot of stuff has happened since like pandemic. And I know outside of this, even with the peer mentoring program and the focus and kind of the pivot y'all did to double down on that. Mental health and wellness is like on the rise, is the forefront. It's so much in the conversations now of resources. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to like, you know, personally or just from what you've observed in terms of rest and wellness, like why is that so key as a leader? Why is that so key for your organization?
Yeah, so I think it must have been right before the pandemic. And this is another female leader, it was Mother Teresa. And their nun, you know, group. I'm like Catholic and I don't know this.
I don't even know. And I was,
sorry.
Raised Catholic.
Sorry, Father Bernardino.
Shout out to my father.
Like they would take rest because they were right working in the community. Every day you see something hard. Every day you encounter something emotionally draining. And so it literally was like they had to remove themselves and go on sabbatical to rest. Now we live in this community and I am not a nun. I am, you know, but I think that the commandment of rest is essential for someone who's pouring into a mental and behavioral health setting for youth. If we're too tired, we're not going to see signs. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be our sharpest. We're not going to give the right, support or advice or, you know, we may be draining the students. Like, we don't want to do that. We're pouring out. And so making sure that we're physically rested, that we're mentally rested, and that we can disconnect and kind of see ourselves as just as important to this whole ecosystem of health and wellness, and that we have limits as humans.
Like, it's true.
We are not limitless.
No, it's true. It's true. That's good stuff. As we start kind of landing the plane before we get to the lightning round, what would you say as we think about the future? What is next for yourself, SYC? What does that look like in your next venture as you continue on your leadership journey?
Growth. One, because it's inevitable and it's coming, and I'm getting emails every day of like, oh, we need this, we want this. And these are like, you know, different organizations, schools or whatever. So identifying ways to replicate what we're doing in a manner that will bring who we truly are to the new version of us, whether it's in a different community, whether it's just a program at a school, whether it's a whole nother center. If we're going to move that direction right now, that's what I'm working on, is how do we replicate who we are, our inclusiveness, the things that, you know, there's a feeling, and multiple people have said this when they walk into our center, it feels good in here.
Yeah.
I'm trying to articulate that. Like, what is the formula?
Yeah.
And so I've been exploring that, you know, and as we grow, how do we do this well? And then personally, you know, like I said, you have to be a learner, and, I did a lot of hands-on learning, out in the community overseas. And, you know, I think that knowledge was invaluable for us to be able to launch the way that we did. But I think that I have a lot more to learn of, research and theory and practice, because I want to have a well-equipped youth center, and I want to make sure that whatever we are presenting is a good version of it for our community, and that we're not doing something that's I don't want to hurt, right? Yeah. So I want to be intentional, and I need to study that. So researching and maybe even going back to school. I just got to make sure my preschooler's schedule will coordinate first.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. I know you mentioned the website and Instagram earlier, but what is the best way for folks to learn more about you're doing here at the center, how to stay connected, how to support.
Yeah. So most of that you can find on the website. Our Instagram, though, is like where everyone's at. Like if, when I open up Instagram, I'm always like, oh, there's so many notifications. But you, if you want to, you can DM us on Instagram. You can email us from our website. I think all of our emails are on there too, cool. Which can lead to spam. But we're pretty good at filtering those out. And then if you just want to drop by, though, and you want to check out the center, we are open Monday through Friday, 12 to 6 p.m. If you're an adult, you'll be, you know, given a tour. If you're a youth between the ages of 14 to 24 years old, you are welcome to participate in our programs, join the center, and then, you know, just kind of see where it goes from there.
For sure. Well, awesome. Hopefully y'all stay connected with SYC. They're doing great things. Make sure to visit. All right. So we're going to head into the lightning round.
Okay.
These are questions I did not share with you. They're all fun. So just off the top, first thing that comes to mind, are you ready for the lightning round?
Yes.
Okay. An easy one to start off with. Favorite food?
Pizza.
What kind of pizza?
Combination. Gotta make it healthy.
From anywhere in particular?
Oh, I'd say Rico's combo pizza is probably the best. They add the best.
In Oak Park?
No. No. Well, there's one out there. There's one on Northgate.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. Okay. Stranded on an island, the one item you bring is?
We just recently went over this one. So it's a book called The Alchemist by Paulo. Have you?
Coelho? Yeah, Michael made us read it my first year.
Yeah. I think if I was stranded on an island, I would read it over and over to remind myself that this isn't the end. There's hope.
Yeah. Alchemist. Okay. Do you think you can win a game show? And if so, which one?
Oh, no. I'm not good at games. I literally, you know, like there's things in my head that I don't like to remember in their games. And it really makes my husband very sad because he loves games. And I'm just like, you're going to have to teach me Monopoly again. You know?
Got it. Artist or song that is currently on repeat?
Artist or song?
Or podcast or audiobook?
Okay. Trying to.
I don't know if that made harder now to answer the
question. Yeah, now you've like given me
too many options.
Artist or song? I am blanking. I can see the album. It's a beautiful red cover. It's like folk music or. I don't know, something like that. It's very weird.
Is that your jam, folk music?
Right now, I guess it's really weird right now, you guys. Oh, look, my earring just flew off. That's weird. I'm going to take the other one off.
All right. Which actress would play you in a biopic?
Oh. In a biopic?
Or just a movie or?
Yeah. It wouldn't really work out because of age.
Okay.
But I love Salma Hayek.
Salma Hayek. That's a good one. That is a good one. Yeah, okay.
I love her because she is one. My hair is up today because it was just too wild. And she's got the right hair.
Yeah.
And two, she just has the right attitude, I think.
Gotcha. Agreed. What is a pet peeve of yours?
Pet peeve. Let's see. I'm trying to think like something this morning that might have happened with my kids. Oh, not rinsing your cereal bowl out.
Not rinsing your cereal
bowl. I have a very sensitive nose. And so like if I come back 2 hours later, I can already smell the milk turning and I get like all grossed out, all off school. I'm like, ugh.
Got it. Okay. Rinse the cereal bowl.
Yes.
Worst nickname given to you?
Oh, Rackle. I don't know why that person did that to me. So my mom calls me Rock, which I love.
Okay.
Rock. And then my dad went the opposite direction and he calls me Kelly. So I have like Kelly and like Rock. But then someone tried to be like really cute and they were like, hey, Rackle. And I was like, no, Rackle. Not Rackle.
It doesn't even sound good.
Rackle. Ew.
Next one here. Would you rather travel to the past or to the future?
Oh man, the future.
Mm.
And yeah, I have been on this, like I've been exploring like the, just funny things with my staff where I'm like, you never know, someone might be showing up from the past to the future. I just feel like it's a fun thing to think, like, what if people are traveling back and forth and we don't know? It'd be kind of cool to be that person.
Yeah, I think so. Something that most people wouldn't know about you.
Let's see. Well, a lot of my students know this, but I don't think a lot of adults do. I was in the marching band, and I played the flute and the piccolo. Not very good at the piccolo, but someone had to do it because it's the marching band.
You raised your hand for the piccolo.
Yeah. Well, no, they just kind of handed it to me.
That's funny. Best advice someone has given you?
Be a dot connector. And I think as I'm in this position more, I'm realizing why. And that is because a lot of people have great ideas. And sometimes they just need someone to connect that idea to something that's even better, right? Yeah. Connecting people to people, connecting organizations to missions, or connecting funds to a project. Dot connector, and being willing to connect others, and you're not a part of it. Being like, no, this is for you.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
A woman that you looked or look up to now, not including Salma Hayek.
Okay. Lizzo, because she plays the flute. No, I really do. I think that's super cool because, like, the flute, like, on stage, like
Lizzo,
that. Wow.
Okay.
No, but. Someone else, like in a more serious context, my grandmother, she passed away when I was 7 years old. She was a field worker. She a migrant field worker, raising 10 kids all at once.
Wow.
I don't even know. She lost her husband. Her first husband had, got remarried and just she lost children along the way. It was hard times. And I just wish that I could talk to her more about how she overcame so much.
Yeah.
Because I think there was some wisdom there that I just didn't get to hear. And seeing her resilience through to the age that she got to was, it's inspiring. And I hope that, one day I get to see her and I can tell her thank you for the sacrifices, because I know there was lots made.
For sure. That's great. Something you're most proud of so far in 2023?
It's only March. So I'm super proud of my team, because we're growing. And I remember, like, in December we were planning out March and the calendar was packed. And I remember looking at them and saying, are you going to be okay with this? Because I was uncertain. I was super like, I don't know if we can do this.
Yeah, right.
There was no more room on the calendar. And they looked at me and they're like, yeah, we can do this. I don't know if they were scared like I was, but I was. And then now we're doing it. And I'm like, whoa. But that's because they're equipped and they're smart and they're powerful and they're doing it.
Yeah, that's great. Last one, and this is more of just to finish the statement. Every leader needs what?
Every leader needs hope. I run into hopeless leaders. They're not very good. They're frustrated. I get frustrated, but then I have to think, well, you have hope. So if you can hope that this frustration will end, the very least, I think every leader needs hope, and they need to have something that inspires hope. And if they can get back to that when it's really frustrating or really confusing, if they can remember that there's hope, they can probably power through that moment.
Yeah. So good. Raquel, thank you so much for being on the Lead Up podcast.
Thank you.
Super, super honored that you were here. And, just wish you all the best moving forward in SYC and your leadership. And, we'll catch y'all on the next episode of the Lead Up podcast. Peace. Hey, what's going on, guys? Thank you so much for watching and listening to the Lead Up podcast. Make sure to subscribe, follow us on YouTube and on Spotify.